Hello everyone, welcome to the TechPoint Africa podcast. On today's podcast, we'll be discussing stories that stood out for us this week. One is Eterna and AFC's plan to create a Silicon Valley in Nigeria with Nigeria's first economic zone. First digital economic zone. The second is about Starlink doubling their prices. Let's start with Eterna and AFC. Let's see what's going on there. They said they want to create a digital economic zone. Tim Gazim, what exactly does that mean for our viewers that do not really understand?
So, a digital economic zone is, if you're familiar with an economic free zone, then you just translate that idea into the digital space. Economic free zones are just fiscal regions for the most part, where governments, the idea is you're trying to stimulate economic activity in the region. And so you designate a particular area. People could set up factories, set up certain businesses in those areas. And as a result of setting up in those areas, they get access to specific, let's call them allowances, okay, or perks. So it could be tax incentives. Probably you don't have to spend as much on taxes, or maybe some taxes are waived, or you get priority on certain infrastructure. So, I mean, the idea generally is how does the government stimulate economic activity in a certain region? And then you do that by creating fiscal spaces where this happens. So bringing it to the digital space. Of course, you're probably wondering, how is it going to work?
Yeah.
There's still a fiscal component to it. So for example, with Eterna, there's a fiscal location where businesses, and I think we'll probably talk about it, they would be setting up like fiscal structures, a workspace that should take about 3,000 people. And yeah, so it's usually a fiscal space, but usually targeted at digital businesses. We have a few across the world. I think we have one in Singapore. We have, I think, one in, is it Malaysia? But yeah, we have a few. Most of them are in Southeast Asia, interestingly. Okay. We have one other one in Dubai. So we have a few of them. They are kind of novel concepts. Probably the oldest ones are under maybe 15, 20 years, but it's still a novel concept. But for Eterna, what they are doing is primarily targeted at digital businesses. So a startup is like the obvious choice or the obvious fit for that. But you don't necessarily have to be a startup. You could be offering, say, consulting. You don't necessarily need to set up physical locations in order to offer your service. And so you could set up as a registered business in Eterna. So in a nutshell, that is basically what a digital economic zone looks like.
Okay. So I want to now know how, because it's in the digital, how do I say it now? I mean, you said there's still a fiscal component to it, but how, as a business, how do I know I'm a part of the digital economic zone or digital free trade zone? Is it based on who has a space in that physical space that they've created, or how exactly would I know that I'm there and I can make use of these perks?
The only way you know you are a part of it is by registering. So
I see.
That is the simple answer to that. You register, and when you register, you get the moment you register, you get perks that businesses that are in that region you'll get. So for example, if I registered a business in Nigeria, I automatically am bound by the responsibilities that businesses in Nigeria are expected to have, and I'm also bound, I am also an automatic recipient of any perks that businesses in Nigeria are supposed to have. So if I launched a business that is in a sector where I'm expected to get maybe tax relief or tax breaks for a couple of years, I automatically get it. I may not always, so just like in regular incorporation, where you may not always have to put up a fiscal structure in order for you to say, okay, I am incorporated in Nigeria. The moment you're incorporated with Eterna, you automatically get access to any perks, any benefits that you're supposed to get.
Okay, so I just realized some people might not really know, might not be familiar with Eterna and AFC. So if you could just do a brief on what exactly is Eterna, who is Eterna, or who are they, what do they do?
Yeah, Eterna is building a digital economic zone. So that's like the example or the short explanation for what Eterna is. Okay. They're just a company that, I don't call them a startup, but they're a company doing that. Mm. For the AFC, AFC is a financial institution that, I mean, the Africa Finance Corporation, if you follow like large infrastructure financing projects in Nigeria, you would have definitely come across them. So they invest in, well, they do a lot of infrastructure investment, but they do a lot of investments across Africa. So basically they are, I don't know if I'll call them the IMF of Africa or the World Bank. I'm not sure which one it is. I think AFDB will be the World Bank. I don't know. Maybe they are the IMF. Anyway, but yeah, they are one of the largest financial institutions in Africa, and they basically lend to governments, businesses, and the likes. So yeah, basically that's it.
Okay, so I think my final question for this story will be, so they said the first phase of this project is valued at $100 million and it's already in the works. Is this going to be geared towards the physical aspect of this digital free trade zone?
So Eterna was founded about 3 years ago, and they've raised some money in the past, I think about $2 million. In the past, and part of that money went towards acquiring the land where the digital economic zone will sit.
Okay.
So that's one. And it's, I mean, when you hear of something like this, you automatically assume it's going to be a major project and it's going to be really capital intensive. So the $100 million will go towards building out the like the physical structures. That's basically what the $100 million will be going towards. So they are going to be building like workspaces, residential apartments for the businesses that choose to set up in that region. So that's basically okay. What the $100 million would be going towards. Of course, this is just the first phase of the project. They will definitely need, like, there are definitely more phases, but yeah, this funding will be going towards developing the physical infrastructure.
Okay, so I know I said that was my last question, but I'm curious about something. Mm-hmm. What's in it for Eterna, right? The company, they are trying to build a digital free trade zone. It kind of feels like a non-profit.
It's not a non-profit. You're not incorporating for free for starters.
Oh,
So first, you will not be incorporating for free. Just the way CAC, you're not incorporating your business at the CAC for free. You will be paying taxes. The taxes could be going, or it could be, so yes, if I missed this out, but it's located in Nigeria.
Okay.
And you will be splitting, so one possible revenue source is that you could be splitting taxes with the Nigerian government.
Okay.
That's a possible revenue source. Mm. So yeah, basically it's not a non-profit. The idea is you stimulate business activities in the region. And I mean, CAC makes, I don't know exactly how much they make, but they make really good money. So, and that's not just it. There's an Eterna app where you can make all of these payments. And I'm assuming that they will build business banking infrastructure on or within that app. And if you do that, then you will automatically be maybe the first business banking option that the businesses who register there have.
Oh, there's
also the
sense.
Potential for a personal finance integration so it's not just businesses alone. They're also trying to build a community of business owners.
Okay.
So those business owners could be people you target or people you say, oh, I have X number of business owners on Eterna or in Eterna. Would you like to do business with these people? And so I think there are a number of revenue avenues or revenue sources that they could chase down in the future. But I think right now the major one is that business registration.
So your responses keep giving me follow-up questions. So is this something that could morph into like this Delaware thing we have in the US, you know, where those specs are good enough that we'll probably see businesses from other countries, maybe other parts of Africa, for example, coming to like incorporate here through Etana?
So I think ultimately that's the goal. The Delaware example you give, the state of Delaware makes a ridiculous amount of money just from the companies that register there. And all you have to do is set it up, make the processes very seamless, and businesses will come. The issue you probably have is, can you deliver on the promise? Because ultimately, you need to be working hand in hand with the government, and not being able to deliver on the promise that you have made could discourage more people from joining. But if you facilitate, okay, so I think one reason why this is important is we occasionally see that our startups in Africa have to leave and go to the US in order to in order for them to sort of gain some kind of acceptability or acceptance on the global scene. That's something we've seen a lot. So could you redirect that traffic that goes out and bring it back in? That's one potential for businesses who need to launch in Africa or who want to launch in Africa. Can you be that guy that helps them with the process, and you basically open the doors of Africa to this, or the doors of Nigeria, whichever the case is, to these businesses? So if you can do that, of course you will morph into something like that.
All right. So before we spend so much time on Etana, let's go to the next story, which is about Starlink. Starlink is doing something I really did not think they were going to do. They are doubling prices, which is odd because it has been one of their major key selling points, right? So, but now in Nigeria, they are doubling prices, which brings me to my first question. Why exactly? Because they said they are increasing prices because of inflation. Why exactly is Starlink increasing prices because of inflation? I asked because are they offering their services through, because what exactly is there, do they have any operational cost in Nigeria that inflation has affected that is causing them to increase prices? I don't get.
Are you asking me?
I'm asking.
I mean, you might as well go and ask their CEO. Their
okay, founder. So because the interesting, I tried to check, right? So for example, the only physical office Starlink has in Nigeria, I mean, in Africa, is in Kenya. The only other cost, maybe there's, I mean, there'll probably be something I'm not seeing. Licenses, for example, their licenses are not due for another 10 years.
The licenses are not impacted by inflation, please.
I mean, SEC increased licenses recently.
When they're increasing, they don't tell you it's inflation that
true.
I was responsible.
Yeah, so I don't really see why they're increasing it, but I think the major thing here is this is one of their biggest selling points. Right?
Is it really one of their biggest selling points? Because Starlink is still more expensive than any other internet service provider out there. So I don't see how that is their biggest selling point. So I'm more interested in something completely different.
Okay.
Starlink will be increasing prices from the 31st of October. We've had Nigerian telcos angle for an increase in their charges for, I think, 3 years now.
Yeah.
NCC has consistently
stopped them.
Pushed back on that and said, no, you can't do it. How does this change the dynamic for that industry? So if I'm MTN, I'm thinking, okay, I wanted to change my tariffs for a couple of years. The regulator says no, but Starlink is going to do it. Yes, Starlink may not be incorporated in Nigeria, but this is about time. This might be something that gets them in trouble with the regulator for real, where the regulator says, okay, we haven't, or I mean, the private sector says, or MTN and the likes say, oh, we've not been allowed to increase prices. Starlink will be increasing prices. What are you going to do about it? If you do not stop Starlink from increasing their prices, then we have to do the same. So does this open up a can of worms where telcos just have to? Because if anybody can make the argument for inflation, then I believe the local telcos have more than enough grounds for that. On the other hand, it could also raise up, and this is not a, this is a conversation that can be very tricky, but it also raises up the question of how do you sort of regulate the activities of companies, tech companies that are not exactly Nigerian or local. We've had a lot of issues with this. Where, I mean, in last week we were talking about South Africa, where Starlink was like, I mean, yes, it's still not official like to use Starlink in South Africa, and we're talking about whether there could be a change. And now you're seeing them increase prices. First of all, I don't know, maybe other African countries, you guys can expect to see that. Kenya, for starters. Although I would like to see how that plays out in Kenya, where they have like serious competition, or other telcos are like going after them. I would like to see whether they respond with that. But still, it's a curious move for me. One, because you're raising prices. Are you betting on the fact, like, I think they're raising prices by nearly 100%.
Yes.
So are you betting on the fact that you are so indispensable to these users that they would, I mean, they'll just pay? I don't know. Is that what you're betting on? Or are you, because I saw some of the emails that were sent to customers, and it felt like there was no conciliatory tone. It was basically, hey, we're increasing our prices. If you don't like it, get out. So I don't know if that, I don't know what they're, how they're thinking about it, because this is a nearly 100% increase on the cost. If you increase it, are you betting on Nigerians not, or Nigerians not like thinking twice about it and then just going ahead? We do not have the leverage or the, so first of all, the Starlink device is very expensive for you to get. Interestingly, you're talking about increasing prices due to inflation. I'm actually surprised they are not increasing the prices of the kits. Yeah, because I mean, if you're going to increase any other thing, I would assume it would be that, not the price of accessing the internet. Yeah. Yes. So I don't know. I don't know why that is what is getting an increase and not the fiscal kits, which could also suggest that they do their business completely different. It could be that, like you said, they have zero business operations in Nigeria, and it is independent merchants who have to, or who order for Starlink, or maybe they are basically B2C and they do not need a presence, which is still interesting, because if that's the case, why are you increasing prices because of inflation? Whose inflation
exactly
are you increasing these prices?
Is it based on US inflation or Nigeria's inflation?
So I don't know. We've seen them basically rise up the ranks in terms of customer numbers. Mm-hmm. Would they see a slowdown? I'm almost certain that they will see a slowdown. I'm willing to bet 1% of my salary that they will see a slowdown in customer growth. If it doesn't, if, like, not just a slowdown, it's probably going to flatline for the next couple of months, because I'm not about to pay $100,000 for, I'd rather just suffer with one of the guys.
You're not betting a serious amount. So
I don't understand.
1% is just small. No? Okay. So, however, speaking about the tone of their price increase,
feels like something that Elon Musk wrote himself and then told
which
them
is
to
funny, because honestly, if you, I've not used Starlink before, but I've spoken to some people that have used it before. I've seen comments by some people that have used it before, and the truth of it is that most people who probably do a lot of heavy internet work, say you are a YouTuber, you need to upload videos, high definition videos and things like that, Starlink isn't really the best option for them, for people like that, right?
So, who are the ones using Starlink? So here's the issue, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, apart from individuals, I think we need to do headcount here of the people who are using Starlink. So, the people who need really ridiculous internet speeds
are saying it's not the best option
for them. So, if they're not the best option, who exactly is buying this thing? So, people make our job difficult when we're trying to tell the government that we are suffering, because Starlink is not giving you the best if you're a YouTuber. What people are buying it. So can you guys sort of identify yourself?
So
let's know.
I think what people enjoy in Starlink is just there's a level of stability that it gives you. But as somebody that needs very low latency, somebody that is doing a lot of uploading, is not really the best option, right? And like it's always getting me surprised, it's getting me, because I mean, the fastest.
So that's stability. I mean, so the problem now is
just that stability that people.
That's stability. I mean, I unfortunately.
You can get it with. There are cheaper options to that stability.
Yes, that's the thing.
That's the what.
The only problem now is that that stability comes at the cost of your peace of mind. That's the issue, because some companies whose names will not be named, you know yourself.
Yeah.
It's that time of the year when you start doing your things. Like, some companies are practically useless to internet users. Like, you are suffering. Some of them give you stability for a long time. And then one day, they come after your life. I guess it's a trade-off. Do I want to never have... And I actually want to know, for the people who use Starlink and maybe have had issues, what was the customer experience like?
Okay, so I've only heard that... I think I've only seen tweets about Starlink customer...
Customer service.
Yeah, their customer service. I've only seen about a couple of tweets, and all of them were like, it's not good.
It's not good. Well, I won't be saying the other thing in my mouth, but I mean, there's precedent. So
which is why I think I can bet 10% of my own salary that they'll see a slowdown in...
So that's the problem. You can't really bet 10% of your salary on this, because the growth they've experienced has been a bit interesting. You're probably the most expensive internet service provider in the country. And you launched just about when we were entering into the worst economic time in nearly 20 years.
And you still
grew really fast. So, except they are doing then, I don't know exactly why and how they grew. Like, it's actually very interesting. Maybe we should go and look for more Starlink users.
Yeah.
And get them to, like, tell us the truth. What's happening?
Yeah. What I'm interested in is the percentage of people that bought it and continued and are still using it.
If I buy your kit for 450k, how much are they selling before? 350?
Yeah. You know, it was four something.
Okay. If I buy your kit for 400k, even 350k, sir, you best believe that I'm going to be using it. 440. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's indeed choice. Anyway, if I buy your kit for 440k, best believe I'll be using that until it rusts.
So the thing is, there was a lot of hype. People bought.
What do you think this thing is? Do you think this is...
It's like the...
Do you think this is
Apple
where there was
glasses,
a lot of...
What is it called?
How many Nigerians have gone to buy it with all the hype?
No, I'm not even saying Nigerians now. The foreigners that bought it.
We're talking about
like
Nigerians.
90% don't use it again. And they spent $3,500 on that.
Sorry, where are they from?
They are mostly from...
They are not Nigerians. Let's know where they are.
Okay.
But I think you make a very... It's not a point you made, but it's something that might be key here. We have a small expat community in Nigeria. Said people made up that word to escape being called foreigners. Anyway, but we have
migrants.
We have a small migrant community in Nigeria. Could they be the ones powering all of this?
Maybe.
Could they be the ones?
Maybe.
Anyway, if you use Starlink and you would like to share your experience.
Yeah, please just if you are seeing this video, just put in
or a, you're listening put, to the audio.
Yeah, put a comment, send a message to us.
I know one person.
Podcast at deadpoint.africa. Today's insight of the week is about Starlink. So with 12,690 new subscribers in Q4 2023, Starlink became Nigeria's third largest internet service provider. This insight of the week was brought to you by intelpoint.co. If you find it interesting, you can find other interesting ones on intelpoint.co. The link to this particular one will be in the description. So on that note, we'll be ending today's episode of the TechPoint Africa podcast. You can check other stories on the TechPoint Africa website. Simply go to techpoint.africa to see all the stories from this week. You can also stay on top of everything happening in tech through our newsletters. The first is the TechPoint Digest, which gives you a 5 minute run through of everything that happened in African tech the day before. You can also subscribe to Tim Gozim's Equity Merchants if you are curious or interested in investment, venture capital, and the entire startup ecosystem. If you are more about work and what's going on in the African workspace, how are employees and employers treating each other, subscribe to Oluwanifemi's Modern Workplace Africa newsletter. But if you're more of a geek and you're interested in different kinds of technology and how they work, subscribe to my newsletter, which is How Cool Tech Works newsletter. That is it from us. We'll see you in the next one.